Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, if a Christian should fall into apostasy, that is, falling away from faith, the chances of him returning back to the Christian faith is rather slim, or actually extremely remote. But the verses before our text that was read this morning, we are told something else. In fact, the word is used that is saying it is impossible. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened to be brought back to repentance. In light of these harsh words of no second return, with which Luther, by the way, had his problems, our verses just read here this morning make a lot of sense. They are words of encouragement to Christians, among whom apostasy was an imminent threat. But the writer is confident that these Christians will persevere and remain active in practicing Christian love and other works. Christians, you know, are not lazy. They are diligent right up to the end of their lives. And should they get weary, they are told to look at other Christians who have shown great patience and good faith throughout their life, and these they should seek to imitate. The fact is then that our Christian life must anticipate occasions when our spiritual life will hit turbulences or bumps on its way. Our spiritual life embarks on a journey from baptism onwards till the end of our life. And it will not be like a smooth ride in a first-class seat on a 747 in a cloudless sky, which most of us have not yet experienced anyway. But life is more like running a steeple race, I think. There are a lot of hurdles on the way over which we could fall and not get up again. And as long as we live on this earth, we cannot rest in a false sense of security that would lead us to think maybe that we are immune to a fallback. So what a sigh of relief it will be one day when we are lying on our deathbed and exhaling our last breath and saying to God, should we still have our wits about us? Thank you, God, for carrying me through this life on earth, through all its temptations and challenges. Thank you for all the protection from harm and danger by your angels, as we pray every morning with Luther's prayer. And thank you for the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work through word and sacrament. For now I can finally rest in eternal peace in the company of all those saints who have gone before me. This prayer already indicates how important it is what we should be doing in the meantime. We should take refuge in the comforting words of the gospel, in its bestowal of forgiveness and the strengthening of our faith. And in terms of sanctification, we should also become active in works, demonstrating our love for others by helping them. And that will prevent us from doing too much introspection and speculation as to where are we going, will we make it, and will we reach the end. And should that not work, we must go ahead and look at other Christians and learn from their examples, be inspired by what they have done, showing this faith and this perseverance, and then become active ourselves. And that will all prevent us from staying away from nonsense and mischief. Who would not want to look, in fact, at all the Christians' witnesses who have gone before our lives? All the missionaries and pastors who have preached and taught against all odds, went to areas, into countries far away and states where nobody else would want to go, often losing their loved ones and their health in the process. I spoke to a pastor just the other day, telling me that he was getting weary, even depressed at doing all these funerals. I told him that he should rather concentrate on doing weddings, because these would cheer him up a little. But these days, he told me, such joyous occasions are very hard to come by. I then encouraged him to see that his concerns is a way the Lord wants to keep him awake in his ministry, to work on himself and to pray to the Lord that he may persevere. I then also proceeded to tell him that there are many Lutheran pastors and missionaries in Africa who are conducting funeral not only on older people and sainted people in the church, but on youth and young children and babies, and are still going on cheerfully in their ministry. We may look at others and learn from their doing, not only those that have passed away, but those that still live amongst us and who have persevered in situations that are far tougher than ours. Here we may look at the older professors in our midst, who despite so much politicking in the synod have managed to stay on for 15 to 25 years. And you may look also among the students and be cheered and encouraged on, for they have made it through their studies, and so can you. And you may look at the lives of your hero pastors, and you may seek to emulate them one day in your own ministry. But most of all, dear friends in Christ, let us not lose sight of Jesus Christ himself. Keep your focus fixed on him. This Advent season has us do that. Together with the saints in Corinth 2,000 years ago, we can call out Maranatha, that means come Lord in our midst. And the Lord in fact has come, and he comes again and again continuously in our life to replenish us day after day with his word and his sacraments. And Advent is also a time of penance and prayer, so we can pray to him that he may keep us awake and keep us in the faith as our examples have demonstrated it. And so we can embark on a journey with a lot being in place already in our life. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.